This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Evan Erickson. As spring approaches on the YK Delta, so does breakup of the Kuskokwim and Yukon rivers. Following a cold winter, forecasters say flooding is likely. KYUK's Samantha Watson reports about how to be prepared and what to know about this breakup season.
Okay, ready for a little bit of science? When it comes to river breakups, there are two different kinds, thermal and dynamic. Thermal breakups happen when the river ice is usually thinner and with a low snowpack. After a warm and sunny April, the ice can weaken more easily and break into smaller pieces. That means better drainage and usually minimal flooding. That's what happened last year when you could see smaller ice chunks floating outside of Bethel. The other kind of breakup, dynamic, that happens when it's colder. There's more snow and stronger ice, which means bigger chunks. That can cause ice jams when breakup occurs. This is when more flooding can happen. Because of this year's cold snap on the YK Delta, forecasters are saying this year's breakup is trending towards the dynamic side. These next few weeks will still play a big role in determining how the ice thaws, but it's likely some flooding will occur. So here are some ways you can prepare. Number one, make a plan.
One of the very first things that you really should do is really talk about a good strategy plan with your family, especially for those in your family that need extra help or extra care.
That's Jana Drake. She works with the state's Department of Homeland Security and Emergency Management. She's also part of the Riverwatch crew that monitors breakup. Drake says, talk to your family about the best way to get out fast if needed and move to a community shelter. A family communication plan, like a sheet of paper with everyone's phone numbers on it, can come in handy. Drake also recommends building an emergency toolkit stocked with fresh water, food, and batteries. She says life straws are also really great to have around. It's also important to gather all medications together, as well as important documents, including passports, insurance and social security cards, tribal IDs, and driver's licenses. Number two, do what you can now. Drake says to move all vehicles and boats to higher ground prior to breakup. If you can, put other household valuables in water-safe containers. If you have pets, it's a good idea to prepare some of their food to grab if you need to move to higher ground. Number three, stay updated. As Drake says, water is the most dangerous element.
Water, it don't play. You know, fire, if a fire comes around, we can put water and it's out. Water, we don't get those privileges. It's going to do what it wants to do, and we have to wait until it is absorbed or retreats.
It's important to stay updated on breakup forecasts and stay ahead of the flooding as much as possible. You can sign up for emailed breakup updates via daily situation reports issued by the state's Emergency Management Department. You can also check the Alaska Pacific River Forecast Center's updated map. You can find links to both of these resources on our website. Once breakup begins on the Yukon and Kuskokwim Rivers, you can tune into daily coffee shows on KYUK at 8:40 in the morning and rebroadcast at noon to get the most updated information from the Riverwatch team. Faith Clyde works with the Alaska State Emergency Operations Center. She says another impact of the cold winter has been shore ice that's held fast to coastal communities. Their partners at the National Weather Service say it's been a long time since the shore ice has stuck around through breakup.
So what they're expecting is that coastal communities along the Kuskokwim, where the Kuskokwim, the mouth of the Kuskokwim and the mouth of the Yukon, those coastal communities may see flooding in ways that is a result of the shore ice still holding fast as breakup reaches the ocean.
Some of these communities and other villages at risk include those impacted by Halong.
There's a lot of cross planning and a lot of anticipation that some of the communities that were impacted by Halong will also see impacts from Riverwatch. How that looks, you know, no one has a crystal ball and can't quite forecast that, but at least everybody is aware, and we're working on trying to mitigate what we can.
She says her department is on heightened awareness for breakup events, and more staff are involved this year across organizations involved in Riverwatch. Drake says the Federal Emergency Management Agency, Alaska Food Bank, American Red Cross, and the Salvation Army will all be on speed dial as breakup progresses. In Bethel, I'm Samantha Watson.
Three men from Nepakiak face weapons misconduct, terroristic threatening, and other charges after Alaska State Troopers say they brandished firearms and threatened people in separate incidents in the community on Tuesday. Troopers responded to the Lower Kuskokwim River community based on reports that a man had threatened to run over his neighbor with his four-wheeler. According to charging documents, while troopers were interviewing a woman who made the complaint, they had to respond to a separate incident. They later returned to the area to arrest 36-year-old Wilson White, who was charged with felony assault and terroristic threatening. In the separate, unrelated incident, troopers responded to reports alleging that 34-year-old Matthew Black pointed a gun at 45-year-old Hubert Southern. Troopers say they arrived to find Black and Southern arguing outside of Southern's residence. Troopers say they arrested Black, but say Southern fled the area on a snow machine. Troopers say witnesses allegedly saw Southern with a weapon. When Southern eventually returned to his home, troopers say they tackled Southern from his snow machine and recovered a loaded shotgun he had allegedly been traveling with. Black has been charged with misdemeanor fourth-degree weapons misconduct for allegedly possessing a gun while intoxicated. Southern has been charged with the same crime alongside felony driving under the influence and assault and misdemeanor harassment and resisting arrest. All three men are currently being held at the Yukon-Kuskokwim Correctional Center in Bethel. Southern and White have hearings scheduled for May 11th, while Black has one on May 18th. State House lawmakers rolled out a new draft of Governor Mike Dunleavy's proposal cutting taxes for the Alaska LNG project on Monday. The House Resources Committee's version would raise more money for the state and local communities than Dunleavy's proposal, but far less than the draft under consideration in the Senate. It's an effort to make the 800-mile pipeline, export facility, and gas treatment plant competitive in a global market for liquefied natural gas. But legislators and local officials say they're concerned that too much tax relief or a poorly structured bill could lead local property and sales taxpayers to subsidize the $46 billion project. Committee co-chair Robin Nayuk Freer says the new version is a work in progress, but she's trying to find common ground.
We're still trying to work with not only the majority members and priorities as well as the minority members and making sure that we can get something across the finish line that is workable, and hopefully we don't end up in a special session.
The House Resource Committee's draft would impose a total tax about three times larger than what Dunleavy proposed. The bill would also make that tax relief conditional on a number of things, most notably the construction of a spur pipeline to Fairbanks. The bill would also give the North Slope Borough and Kenai Peninsula Borough, which hosts the gas treatment plant and export facility, the option to buy equity in the project instead of receiving tax revenue. Representative Julie Coulombe, an Anchorage Republican, says there's still work to be done.
Even though we're seeing some adjustments that need to be made, I really appreciate the work that's been put into this version. I think I see a light at the end of the tunnel with this version, and that makes me very excited.
Officials with the state agency that owns 25% of the project, the Alaska Gasline Development Corporation, said the new version represented real progress toward a workable bill. But they said the higher tax rate presented a, quote, challenge to the economics of the project. This is KYUK News. I'm Evan Erickson. Koyana for listening. Please share your news tips, comments, or suggestions. You can email us at news@kyuk.org or message us on Facebook. And stay tuned for Yoktun Ganumchit. Coming up.